Well, welcome back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It is 4:34 p.m. Eastern, and it is the 24th of August of 2020. We are ready for another show, kind of. I've been scurrying around here at the last minute doing some things. I'm going to pick up back in Contact Report 248, and we're going to talk about 450 prophets slaughtered in the Bible. So that's where we'll pick up. We're going to talk about some other topics as well, I think. There's a lot to cover in this contact report. I hate just to read, though. It's just not my style that much. Anyway, during the last 10,000 years, there have only been very few exceptions to this, but at the present time, almost no real and responsible leadership can be found. The earth people simply won't grow up, so an enormous number of them remain as virtually inexperienced children through their short lifespans who stagnate at the adolescence age, even if they died at 70 or 80 or 100 years, Billy says. About that, it can hardly be argued. Over and over again, one approaches me with questions about the Bible, respectively its contents. One such question, for example, concerns what it was all about that the prophet Elijah slaughtered 450 prophets of the idol Baal on Mount Carmel through a judgment of God, as in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 40 of the Bible. It is described with the words, "But Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal, that none of them may escape.' And they seized them, and Elijah led them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there." I'm going to make a note of this. I think this is interesting. The prophets of Baal. And of course, you know that Billy's previous lives of Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. So this is one of the prior lifetimes of Edward Albert Meyer. And I seriously doubt that he killed them. But let's see what it says here. "But Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal, and none of them, and let none of them escape.' And they seized them, and Elijah led them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there." That's what it says in the Bible. My explanation of this is usually disputed, namely that the Bible lies and twists the facts that happened at the time. As I know the facts, all of the prophetic books and other contents of the Bible were falsified beyond recognition, whereby the prophets themselves, as well as their deeds and their activities, were represented completely incorrectly, which gave the impression, which has remained preserved in Christianity up to the present day, that these prophets would have killed and murdered. But this corresponds to no iota of the truth. Also, Elijah never slaughtered the 450 prophets of Baal. Rather, this massacre was carried out by fanatical Jewish priests and their followers, like also the slaughter of another 400 prophets of Asherah. But no word of their murder is to be found in the Bible. One of the total 850 slaughtered priests, who were actually priests and not prophets of their cults. Only 450 priests of Baal are mentioned in the Bible. Ha says, that's right. Because the additional 400 who were murdered are concealed. Like also the truth was twisted in the sense of who the actual murderers of the priests were. This distortion, however, was devised with full calculation and was held in writing in order to prove the power of God as well as the divine calling of the prophet Elijah, who was regarded through his works as one of their people and faith. But in fact, he was only one of their people, but not of their faith. But this was never understood by the Jewish people. Elijah brought the true teaching of the creation and its laws and commandments, which were thoroughly misunderstood, however, by all of the Jewish people, as this also happened with all the other prophets and their teachings, and indeed up to the prophet Emmanuel, who was then gutted from erroneous teachings and misunderstood understandings arising from Christianity as a son of God. But these facts and circumstances are much more familiar to you than me, my friend. So I don't understand why you asked me about that, Billy. The point is simply that I wanted to have your confirmation of my explanations, because one simply disputed these several times. Ptah, then I would like to explain that your explanation is absolutely correct and it contains no errors, though you know about that better than I do. Thanks, Billy says. That suffices. Then another question. Do you know something about amalgam? Tasa, certainly. It is a mercury filling which finds use in the terrestrial dental technology as a dental filling. By the way, this is very dangerous. A very dangerous product. It should not be used in this way because it may cause severe injury to the health, such as blurred vision, headaches, memory impairment, hearing impairment, cancer, instability of the psyche, from which also severe mood swings arise, and so on. Just the vapors arising from the introduction of the filling are dangerous, as well as the subsequent discharge of mercury from the filling. Gosh, such a terrible thing. I think I've gotten all my mercury fillings taken care of. Boy, those things are horrific. Especially vulnerable are pregnant women who receive amalgam treatment during their pregnancy, because the mercury and its vapors, etc., are transferred to the fruit of the womb and burden this, whereby various diseases as well as injury to the body, the organs, or the consciousness can also appear. The effects of the mercury discharges in the human organism and body can vary according to the constitution of the person, but in the strength of the effect as well as in the time of the initial appearance of the effects that, in many cases, first manifest themselves maliciously with the aging of the person, without a doctor still being able then to investigate the origin of the suffering. So often many people don't notice for a long time. Then they will have been poisoned by mercury discharges into the organism, just to become suddenly sick then with a multitude of ailments for which the doctor can find no explanation. Mercury is such a poison. It's horrific. And I know we've talked about some of this before, but this contact report 248 is amazingly filled with information. One of the reasons I'm still going back over these old ones is because I want to actually try to absorb some of this if I can. And the fact that we have hundreds of contact reports to keep going forward on is great, because we have then an endless amount of content for the show. So anyway, Billy says, "You've given me the answer to an unasked question, because that's exactly what I wanted to ask you, for that was a subject for which I asked for my opinion some time ago. That was a subject for which I was asked for my opinion some time ago. Unfortunately, I must confess that I gave a wrong answer in this regard. I said that amalgam would probably only take effect according to the physical constitution, but I can't exactly say whether that is actually so. But according to your explanation, amalgam is harmful in every case. Very often, even with a long-term effect, respectively with a long-term outbreak of an effect." Patel says, "That is right." Billy says, "Thanks for your instruction." Patel says, "You can indeed correct the mistake. Of course, I will also do that. Now, once again, I have something concerning the Bible, and especially with regard to the so-called Noah's Ark, which was actually built at one time, however, at a completely different time than was claimed in the Bible. The biblical flood did not happen at that time claimed by the Bible, but in the year 4613 BC. Okay, let me repeat that. The biblical flood was at 4613 BC, which was brought about by the destroyer comet. Quetzal made this following statement. 4613 BC, the destroyer falls into Earth's orbit, which disturbs the Earth in its rotation and in its revolution around the sun, triggering immense earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, elementary storms, and from the whole event the biblical flood arises. The rotation of the earth is changed, and a polar shift takes place." And this kind of stuff happened more than once because, well, I don't want to make things more complicated. Let's continue. "The biblical flood, therefore, confirms with reality, even though it has been placed in another time by chroniclers, as also supplies to the fabrication of the and the events surrounding Noah's Ark, which was actually built around 98,400 years earlier, and hence around 100,000 years ago, calculated back from today." Is that true? So the biblical flood occurred in 4613 BC. The flood associated with Noah's Ark was about 100,000 years ago. So what the Bible did, it conflated the two and confused them together. Noah was not involved in the 4613 BC event. He was involved in the one that was almost 100,000 years ago, 98,400 years ago. Patel says, "That's right. But from what source does your knowledge stem?" Quetzal, Billy says, "From Quetzal, of course. At one time, I was together with him on Mount Ararat in eastern Turkey, respectively on the Russian-Turkish-Iranian border. And indeed, because I was interested in the history of the Ark, there he explained to me these very things. The Ark landed around 100,000 years ago, and not on a peak, and not on the peak of the 5,165-meter-high era hat, but around 30 kilometers away, and not at the height of a summit. The size of the ark also corresponds to the one given in the Bible. But with this, the many animals and only a few humans had really survived an earlier flood, like the biblical flood, was brought about by a pole shift." Tas says, "That is not correct, for it was a colossal tidal wave that was caused by a large comet that nearly collided with the earth and caused enormous catastrophes, including the gigantic tidal wave through which the ark was lifted onto Mount Ararat." Billy says, "Pardon me, then I probably mixed up the two events. Ta, that must be so. Thanks for the correction. Now, Noah did not live at the time of the events with the ark, and neither did his family. So the ark and the events with the ark took place 100,000 years ago. I'm just trying to clarify this because it's confusing. Nevertheless, the event happened amazingly close to what the Bible reports. It's just that the builder was a man named Nowakhodnosor. So Nowakhodnosor was the one that built the ark 100,000 years ago. The biblical flood, 4613 BC, I believe it was, that's a different event. That's a different event completely. And he maintained, okay, Nowakhodnosor was the guy 100,000 years ago and who built an ark. Nowakhodnosor, the term means man of peace. And he maintained contact with an extraterrestrial named Zebulon, he who brings the hosts of the universe, who explained the approaching danger of the comet to him and advised him to build the ark, which he then did in collaboration with his family and hence survived the immense flood. Along with his family and with many domestic and land animals. So this is 98,000 years ago. These factual events have been handed down since approximately 98,000 years ago by word of mouth, again and again, and whereby the name Nowakhodnosor was gradually altered and fell into oblivion and finally ended in the name of Noah, while the extraterrestrial who was in contact with Nowakhodnosor was renamed and became elevated to a god. After the biblical flood, the actual Bible ark Noah history was then created, whereby the true origin of the events ultimately became lost. So when the Bible was written, the story of Noah was a confusion of what had happened, something that had actually happened about 100,000 years earlier with a man named Nowakhodnosor. So hopefully you've got that straight now. 100,000 years ago, Nowakhodnosor built an ark and all of that. There was a gigantic flood caused by the destroyer comet, and Nowakhodnosor had contact with an extraterrestrial man named Zebulon. And then eventually that got all mushed together in one story and put in the Bible. Taz says, this is also recorded in our chronicle with regard to the important events on the earth. Your explanation is therefore correct. It is simply astonishing, so I think, that in spite of the later biblical falsification, the history of the ark has been so well preserved for more than about 100,000 years. This is Billy speaking. When one just considers that during that time, very few people lived on the whole earth. Do you perhaps know the number of people who lived at that time of the comet catastrophe and the number of people who died? There exists with us no precise data about this, but only estimates. These say that prior to the massive tidal wave, approximately 870,000 people lived on that part of the earth. But as a result of the catastrophe, about 650,000 lost their lives. Out of the surviving 220,000, about 140 people lived on the ark. That's a pretty big boat. 140 people plus all those animals, that's pretty impressive. Who after the time of the flood then settled the land in the Middle East, where many foreigners then also immigrated. The total of about 220,000 people had it very hard because for many thousands of years they were decimated again and again by epidemics and all sorts of other disasters. Therefore, they could only multiply very slowly at first and only reached a total population of 11 million people at about 10,000 years ago, distributed across the whole Earth. Wow, the whole 10,000 years ago, the population of the Earth was only 11 million people. That is phenomenal. You know, you can only learn this kind of thing with the Meyer stuff. It's amazing. Maybe I'll stop at that section here because that's a lot of contact report stuff. I thought maybe, well, you might have to bear with me just for a second because I'm going to shift gears a little bit. If I can shift gears in the middle of the show, which is usually a bad idea. For some reason, I feel like I need to do it. Let's see. I'm looking for a little bit of information about Ask It. I might not be able to find it. You know, sometimes when you, well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Ask It, and I know this is something we've talked about many times before. Ask It, I believe Billy had contact with when he was like 16 years old. I always wonder why Billy never talked about his contacts with Spoth and Ask It when Colonel Wendell Stevens was there with Lee and Britt Elders. I think it must have just been too much information at once, and he just felt better that he would not go there. And of course, this is the incredible story about Billy going with Ask It to under the Great Pyramid, where he saw the great hallway and the headquarters of the Giza intelligences, the negative extraterrestrials, which manipulated the human race for hundreds of years. So I think I will start at the very, very beginning of this report and maybe read a little of the stuff that I usually don't talk about. This is called Ask It's Acquaintanceship, and hopefully on the next show we can get back with this a little bit better. And this is, I think there's a bigger, I think this is just a subsection. I don't know, you know, it just says this is pages 303 to 308. Ask It's Acquaintanceship. I think this is just a partial translation. So here we go. Just as with the introductory explanation, all of the following was written down together and with Ask It's help. Ask It constituted a very good memory aid for me. Furthermore, she was in a position, by means of some sort of apparatuses, to reproduce words true to the original words, which had already been spoken a long time ago. Whereby, with the writing down of the following reports, I am in a position to reproduce truthfully, word for word, every single word and every sentence from her side or from my side. The apparatus with which Ask It has at her disposal for such purposes is able to bring forth and record every single jot of a conversation. There's a misspelling there, by the way. Out of her unconscious and transfer it as thought impulses. Meruli, the 3rd of August, 1964. It was my 18th close sighting of beam ships when I was picked up on February 3rd, 1953, to make Ask It's acquaintanceship. Now, this is something a little different that I'm not aware of. Let me continue. I was picked up by a disc in the early second hour of the morning at a place that had been precisely communicated to me shortly before, which, however, Svath had already arranged with me weeks earlier, so that on day X, on the actual exact point to be named. Now, why did they say Maruli, the 3rd of August? Let me continue here. Bitter cold prevailed on that early morning hour as I made my way to my favorite place of my thoughts, where I was often during for so many hours, and where 16 days earlier, Svath had announced to me that my acquaintanceship with Askin, which was intended to occur on this night. In spite of the cold, I broke out in a sweat as I climbed the small hill on which the agreed place was situated. Arriving there, I did not have to wait long for some sort of thing which was supposed to come there, because arriving on the dome of the hill, I immediately saw a bright light plunge down from the sky and set down not far from me on the frozen hard ground. The bright light went out, and I saw a matte silver and disc-shaped object which stood majestically on quiet on three landing spheres and appeared to wait for me. The disc's landing spheres were completely foreign to me because I had never seen such things with that kind of form before. Now that's interesting because I remember him saying that. So this is all very familiar to me now. After a short telepathic invitation, that's something I've missed in prior shows, I didn't realize that the craft invited him telepathically. I approached the ship as if under a gentle compulsion, and at once was lifted in through an opening, just as if by ghostly hands. And that's the one thing I quote all the time, because there was neither a lift nor some sort of entrance possibility. And of course, that's what he talks about, Billy talks about, when he was brought up into Svath's ship. So maybe that's a good place to stop. I love this story. We can get back to it. I think we covered some very interesting material. I'm talking about the prophets of Baal and Noah. Or should I say Noah Codnesser? Anyway, we will talk to you soon. Have a great day.